Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Ninian's Old Parish, both those who are with us here in person and those who are watching online. I would like to say wherever you are, wherever you may be, whoever you may be with, and whatever you're doing, you are very welcome here this morning. And as you can see, I am not Gary. I think I've met most of you at this point, but for those of you who do not know me, my name is Jake Lehman. I'm here on familiarization, so spending a year kind of shadowing Gary and following him around, and sometimes he leaves me alone to do things like this. So I hope you all bear with me as I do my first service here at St. Ninian's. We begin by singing together hymn 198, All Are Welcome. That's hymn 198, All Are Welcome.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Well, again, good morning, and I think that's a wonderful hymn to begin on as we gather in worship and recognize that all are welcome in this place. And speaking on the topic of welcome, after the service, there will be time of fellowship in the sanctuary as we serve tea and coffee and biscuits. So I invite you, if you're able, to stick around for that and have some conversation with the fellow people in the pews with you. Also, next Sunday, just a reminder that we'll be doing our monthly tea in the parish hall, where I believe jam will also be for sale, so come prepared for that and plan to stick around then as well. And today, we launched the Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal for this year. Leaflets for that are available in both vestibules, so if you need more information about that, you can get a leaflet in the vestibule, and you might have heard this already, but you're welcome to fill a shoebox on your own or bring items for a shoebox or just bring a shoebox. All those things are welcome, or if you don't have any of those things, you're welcome to donate to that cause as well. But here are the leaflets that you can grab for more information on that. And that appeal will close on the 2nd of November, which is fast approaching, surprisingly. That's coming quickly, so be prepared for that. This week, a few other things are going on. There will be a meeting of the Social and Fundraising Committee in the McMichael Chapel tomorrow at 2 o'clock p.m., and new members and new ideas are very welcome to that, so if you've not been a part of that but have ideas that you would like to contribute to social or fundraising activities in the parish, you're most welcome to come. And the gardening group will meet for the final time this season on Tuesday at 1:30, another sign of the oncoming autumn months and winter. The gardening group is finishing up. But the volunteers will enjoy afternoon tea in the parish halls at 3 p.m. And it says, a sincere word of thanks is extended to those who have helped keep the grounds around the church tidy over the summer months. And admittedly, I was not here over the summer months, but seeing the grounds now, whoever was a part of keeping them tidy, I will say thank you on the parish's behalf. Also this week, on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in the McMichael Chapel, we'll begin a series of Bible studies. And as Gary said last week, if the word study scares you away, don't worry too much. This will be a very relaxed conversation, a chance to ask questions, to explore your faith a little more deeply with a few other people. And so Gary and I will both be leading those starting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the chapel, and those will go on through the 11th of November before taking a break through the holidays, Advent, and then they'll start back up after the new year. So all people, perspectives, questions, everyone is welcome to come to those studies. Also this week, the Elders District Review Committee will meet in the Session House on Wednesday at 2 p.m., and the Craft Group will meet at the Parish Halls Thursday at 2 p.m., and all are welcome to that as well. As the song says, that's a theme. All are welcome to a lot of these different things. And I believe that is all the intimations we have for this morning. So as our call to prayer this morning, I'll share a reading of Psalm 66, verses 1 through 12. And there's no page listed in your order of service on purpose. I didn't list that to give you a chance to just sit and listen to the psalm and listen to God's word as we prepare ourselves for prayer. So from Psalm 66, let all the earth acclaim God. Sing to the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your foes cower before the greatness of your strength. The whole world bows low in your presence. They praise your name in song. Come and see what God has done. How awesome his dealings with mankind. He changed the sea into dry land. His people passed over the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him who rules forever by his power. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance. Bless our God, you nations. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He preserves us in life. He keeps our feet from stumbling. For you, God, have put us to the test and refined us like silver. You have brought us into the net. You have bound our bodies fast. You have let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you have brought us out into a place of plenty. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, your mercy is everlasting and your faithfulness endures from age to age. On this holy day, we come before you in worship, in gratitude and in awe of all that you have done. You preserve us in life and keep our feet from stumbling. And in the midst of all the joys and trials of this life, we trust that though we go through fire and water, you bring us out into a place of plenty. For in Christ, we are each made whole. Hear us all now as we come before you in prayer. Make us ever aware of the blessings that we enjoy and keep us conscious of the needs of so many in our community, our society, and across the world who do not share our privileges. Privileges of food and shelter, as well as those blessings of love and hope and relationship. Help us to keep them and all people in our minds and in our hearts as we confess that we all stand in need of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Father, we your people come to you aware of our faults and our failings. Sometimes we judge by outward appearances, neglecting to consider the human being, head and heart, soul and mind contained within. Forgive us, Father. Lord Jesus, when you were here on earth, you spent your time and energy with outcasts, strangers, and those despised by society. Help us to do the same. May we always approach others with the love that you have for us and for all people. Forgive us, Lord. Holy Spirit, empower us with your grace and mercy so that everything we do and think and say may be for the encouragement and support of all whom we meet. May we stop thinking only inwards and begin looking continually outwards with your power and love to those less fortunate than ourselves. Forgive us, Holy Spirit. Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us to know your unending love and trust in your promise of forgiveness, now and forever, in Christ's name. Amen. So if there are any children, I know there's a couple because my own are here, but any children who are here are welcome to come forward. I do have a bag of fun things to show you. All right, at least my own daughter, and I see a few more working their way down from up top. So while you guys are, maybe you're going to watch from up there, that's all right. Perfect, perfect. So I've got some things in a bag here, and I want you all up there and down here to tell me which of these things could be used for healing. All right, so let's see. What do we have first? We've got a box of Band-Aids. All right, thumbs up. Those can be used for healing. Perfect. What else do we have? Some Jakeman's throat lozenges, right? Is that what you call those? Yeah, soothing lozenges. Can they be used for, oh yeah, those are, I love these things. So how about a can of chicken noodle soup? What do you think? Can that be used for healing? I think so, yeah. So healing of a chicken noodle soup. And I've got a couple pictures of things because I couldn't quite track them down. You know what that is? Stethoscope, yeah, it goes in your ears. Can that be used for healing? In a way, yeah, a doctor uses that, right? So it helps to listen to see if there's anything wrong with you. They can heal you with that. And then this picture, not a great picture. You probably can't see it from there. It's a picture of a bunch of doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals. They can be used for healing, right? All right, and then what else do we have in here? How about some tea? Interesting, right? It could maybe be used for healing. All right, maybe. What about a movie? Can you use a movie for healing? What do you think? Maybe he's saying no up there. Movie Trolls, questionable if that can be healing, but maybe. You never know. We had tea. How about a pint glass? Can that can be used? She says it could be used for hurting. Yes, all these things could hurt or heal. So, yeah, we'll see about that. How about a mobile phone? You think, can that be used for healing? Yeah. Oh, she said you can call someone to heal you. You're getting on the right path there. And the last thing I have in here is a thank you card. Can a thank you card be used for healing? Mixed reviews. I hear a lot of, maybe. So, got all these things to think about healing. And in our Bible reading, in a little bit, we're going to hear a story about how Jesus met 10 lepers, so these people with skin condition. There were 10 men that had leprosy, and they were living on the outside of town, and Jesus healed them. But I would say that Jesus healed them actually in a couple of different ways. So you said these things are pretty clearly can be used to physically heal you, right? So Jesus, when he met these guys that had this skin condition, leprosy, he healed them in a very literal way. So he, like a doctor, made them better. They had leprosy before, and now they don't, so they got better. But also, he healed them socially or relationally. So you'll hear a little about this in the sermon, but when you had leprosy, it was this disease that you couldn't be around other people. You had to be isolated from everyone. A bit like we all remember too well COVID. When you had COVID, you had to be isolated from everyone. Same is true when you have the flu. You're isolated. But leprosy lasted a really long time. So you could have leprosy from anywhere to a week to the rest of your life, and you could not be around other people. So Jesus, when he healed them relationally as well, which is why I included some of the other things. So, you know, a movie. If someone's lonely, you could invite your friend over. If you say, oh, my friend's pretty lonely, let's get together and watch a movie. That can be healing. Tea or a pint glass, if that's your preference. Those two things. You can get together with someone. If you know someone's having a difficult time, you can invite someone, hey, let's grab a cup of tea. Let's have a biscuit. Let's have a meal together and share that time. And that can be healing to someone, right? And then in cell phone, what you said, you can call people. So if you know someone's going through a hard time, you can send a message. Or you can call someone on the telephone, and that can be very healing. So we all know, how many people in here have ever been sick? Raise your hand. Probably all of us, unless there's some superhumans in here who've never. We all know that tremendous relief that comes when we've been sick and we finally feel well, right? You finally feel like you can go out and be in society again and be with people and do the things that you like to do. Well, the same is true. How many of us have ever felt lonely before? Has ever felt lonely? Sometimes, right? Well, it's also a lot of relief when someone reaches out and says, hey, you want to watch a movie? You want to get together? They send you a message, send you a card, and that's very healing, right? So I want us to think about how Jesus heals each of us. Socially, he heals us physically. Jesus has his hand of healing. And I haven't talked about this one yet. I have a thank you card in here, because that's an important thing that you'll hear in the reading today, is that Jesus heals these 10 people of leprosy, and one of them comes back and says thank you to Jesus. And that's a key part of that reading, because it reminds us that whatever we're going through, when we experience friendship, when we experience relationship, when we have healing in our lives, we can always go back to God and say thank you for that. So I want us, especially you guys and all of us, to think about ways that Christ is active in healing us through one another, through Christ's touch, and think about ways that we can be agents of that healing for other people, agents of relationship and care, and how we can care for other people, okay? So thank you guys very much for being so attentive, even way up there. So now we sing our thanks to God by singing hymn 150, Sing to God with Gladness. That's hymn 150. Thank you.
First reading this morning is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. So that's Jeremiah 29, verses 1, 4, and 7. And you'll find this on page 656 in the Pew Bible. So that's page 656 of the Pew Bible. Jeremiah sent a letter from Jerusalem to the elders who were left among the exiles, to the priests, prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. These are the words of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat the produce. Marry wives and rear families. Choose wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters. Increase there and do not dwindle away. Seek the welfare of any city to which I have exiled you, and pray to the Lord for it. On its welfare, your welfare will depend. And the second reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. And you'll find this on page 68 of the Pew Bible. So that's Luke 17, verses 11 to 19, on page 68. In the course of his journey to Jerusalem, he was travelling through the borderlands of Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, he was met by 10 men with leprosy. They stood some way off and called out to him, "Jesus, Master, take pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And while they were on their way, they were made clean. One of them, finding himself cured, turned back with shouts of praise to God. He threw himself down at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. At this, Jesus said, "We are not all 10 made clean. The other 9, where were they? Was no one found returning to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to the man, "Stand up and go on your way. Your faith has cured you." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
We praise God through singing hymn 782, "Lord of Life, We Come to You." That's hymn 782. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's a story of a wise old farmer who had a farm that just sat right outside of the edge of town, and it was on a main road between these two villages. And one day, as this old farmer was taking a short break from his work, a young traveler happened to pass by, and the young man stopped when he saw this old farmer leaning on his fence, and he told him he had just left the village up the road and was hoping that he could get just a little bit of information about this village he was traveling into. So he asked the farmer, "Excuse me, could you tell me what kind of people live in this village up ahead?" The old man answered the question with a question. He asked the young traveler, "Well, what kind of people were in the town that you just came from?" "Oh," said the young man, "these people were terrible. They were liars, they were cheats, they were violent, they were drunks, they were rude. They were really just the worst kind of people you could encounter." And the old man looked at the young man and shook his head and said, "Well, I'm afraid that you'll find the people in this town ahead are very much the same." Not long after, while the farmer was still resting, another traveler going in that same direction to the same village paused to ask again the same question. He said, "I'm traveling to the town ahead, and I'm wondering, sir, if you could tell me what kind of people are up in this village up ahead?" And again, the old farmer responded to the question with a question. He said, "Well, what kind of people were in the town that you just came from?" The second traveler answered, "Oh, I left a fine town. They were filled with wonderful people. The people were friendly, they were generous, they were kind, they were hardworking. They were really just wonderful people." And the farmer smiled and said, "Well, I think you'll find that the people in the town ahead are very much the same." So when we encounter others, or we encounter new situations, what do we expect to see? When we meet a stranger, especially someone who might be very different from us in particular or significant ways, what kind of person do we expect to meet? Do we look at other people expecting to find suspicion or disagreement or anger or division? Or do we look at others, especially those who are different from us, with an expectation of hope, of hospitality, of kindness, of welcome? It's a question worth asking ourselves now and then, because how we see others can make all the difference in how we experience the world, and it can make all the difference in how we encounter and how we treat our neighbors. So the gospel reading from Luke tells the story of Jesus and the healing of these 10 men with leprosy. And right at the start of this story, we have a pretty fair indication of what kind of lives these men led. The story is clear that these men were outsiders. They were strangers. At the time of Jesus, as I talked about in the all-age talk a bit, having leprosy meant that you were separated from the community. And we see this clearly just through the description of the situation that the gospel writer Luke gives us. He says, Jesus is traveling through the borderlands of Samaria and Galilee. So right there you have a sense that Jesus is out there a bit on the edges, that the area itself is about a little bit out in the wild. And it says between Samaria and Galilee. Now if you've been around the church for any amount of time, you've likely heard that Samaritan people and Jewish people did not get along all that well. I won't go into all the details and the history, but even though those people basically came from the same ethnic roots, the Jewish people essentially saw Samaritans as half-breeds and heretics. I hesitate saying this because I haven't been in Scotland all that long, but it seems, for comparison's sake, a little bit like the dynamic between Rangers fans and Celtic fans. If I'm stepping on toes, I apologize. But this was a situation where, like that, rather than expecting to see the good in one another, both groups really saw each other as, at best, misled or misguided or misinformed, or at worst, as the enemy, as someone they should be opposed to or against. So these lepers are living out in the borderlands between Samaria, Samaritan land, and Galilee, Jewish or Judean land. So they're in the borderlands in this place of conflict, and they're not even living in the village, but they're living outside of it. And this was because by law, a person with leprosy was not even allowed to live near others in the community, but they had to keep their distance. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, the law itself states, "As for the person who has a leprous infection, his clothes shall be torn and the hair of his head shall be uncovered. And he shall cover his mustache and call out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean," as if you didn't hear unclean enough. They make sure you know. He is unclean. And it says, "He shall live alone. He shall live outside the camp." Now, I understand the reasons for a law like that. The reasons for that law were to keep the infection from spreading to others in the community. But at times, the effect of that law was really isolation socially and relationally, and it was a disruption of a community. So in order to prevent any further infection, a person with leprosy was to call out unclean, unclean when they were around others. And by law, they were required to live alone outside the camp. So it was enforced isolation. Now most of us Hopefully none of us have leprosy or have ever had leprosy or ever will have leprosy. But I would guess that there are times when we have all felt, I'll say, a little leprous. We have felt a little unclean, or we felt a little alone or a little outside of the camp. You know, maybe that happens during times in our lives when we've been in a strange place or around people that we just don't think understand us or we don't understand them. Or maybe it was a time when we took a stand on something that we thought was right, but we were at work or at school and most people just didn't agree with us. We were taking a stand that was not the popular opinion. We might have felt a little outside the camp. Or maybe it was a time that we had tension or brokenness in one of our relationships. Or maybe it was because we were put into a situation in life that we felt wholly unprepared for or unequipped to handle. So we felt a little outside the camp or a little alone. But whatever the situation in our lives or in the moment, there are times when I think we can all feel a little bit like that outsider. Times when we feel alone and outside of the camp, which is why what happens next in the rest of our gospel reading is so important. Because these leprous men are living on the borderlands outside the community, and as the gospel tells us, they are standing far off from Jesus. According to some regulations, lepers were required to stand up to 50 yards away from a healthy person when the wind was blowing the right way. So there alone, standing at a distance in isolation, these lepers all call out to Jesus, saying, "Master, take pity on us." And Jesus sees them. And Jesus doesn't recoil. Jesus doesn't tell his disciples to just back away slowly, ignore them, they'll go away. Jesus doesn't simply pretend to walk by and not see them and pass by them on the street and continue on his way down the road. But he tells them to go and show themselves to the priest, which I've always thought is an interesting thing to say. You know, if I were in Jesus' shoes, which, you know, thankfully I'm not for a multitude of reasons, but if I were in Jesus' shoes on that day, I would think the more impactful thing to say to these 10 men who are suffering from leprosy would be something along the lines of, "You are healed," or, "I hereby cure you of leprosy henceforth and forevermore. Amen." But Jesus sees these men suffering and he says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Which again, not to keep going back to Leviticus and Levitical law, which I know is everyone's favorite part of any sermon. But according to Levitical law, this is what a person with leprosy was supposed to do, but they were supposed to go to a priest after they were cured of the disease. So if you read Leviticus, there's this lengthy and complicated ceremony involving birds and lambs and shaved heads and bloody toes and bloody earlobes that I won't get into. It's very interesting reading if you want to go to it later. But the main thing in this ceremony is that the priest is there to make sure that the leprosy is gone and then to give thanks and to make atonement to God for that cleansing. But when a leprous person was thought to be cured, they were then required to present themselves to the priest. So after they were cured. So in telling these 10 men to go and show themselves to the priests, Jesus is assuring them that they will be healed. And in telling them to go and show themselves to that priest, he is asking them to go to town, to go where they are forbidden to go, expecting that they will be healed. And all 10 of them go. All 10 of them hear Jesus' voice and they obey. All 10 of them follow the command of Jesus, and while they're on their way to the priests, they are made clean. Which would be a fine place to end the story. You could read the headline: Jesus cures 10 lepers and sends them on their way to town. But we know the story continues as one of the men, formerly known as leprous, decides to disobey Jesus. Jesus has told the men to go and show themselves to the priests. On the way, they're made clean. And rather than continue to the priests and do what Jesus says, this man alone is overcome with gratitude. And he turns back with shouts of praise to God and throws himself at Jesus' feet to thank him. Now, we don't know what happens to the other men, the other 9. We assume that they go on to the priest as Jesus told them and go on living their lives, but we have no idea. Luke doesn't give us those details. But what we know is that only one of these former lepers turns around to give thanks to Jesus. Of course, I was being a little tongue-in-cheek earlier when I said he disobeyed Jesus, because Jesus actually commends this man in our scriptures for his faith. And this one person who turned around happens to be the Samaritan, the outsider among outsiders. And we don't know what circumstances other than leprosy led this one Samaritan to be living with nine Jewish lepers in these borderlands. But I can only imagine the feeling that this one particular man had in being healed, because he, more than all the others, was separated from his people. He was separated from the community. He was separated from his customs. He was separated from his friends, his family, his relationships. He was separated from the ability to work and worship as he chose. So this man knew better than most what it meant to be an outsider, or what it was to be an outcast. And when he was healed, when Jesus healed him, all of those things were reversed. He was no longer outcast, but he was now welcomed back into the society. He was restored to health and wholeness. He was restored to connection and community. When people saw him, they would no longer expect to see something unclean or diseased or untouchable, but instead, when they saw him, they would see him for who he was. So in that moment, he turns around and he gives thanks to God. So a question that always seems to creep up when we read passages like this is the question of, you know, who are the lepers in our world today? And there's not a specific answer that I'm looking for, so please don't shout something out. That would be very awkward. But it's a question I think is worth looking at from time to time, because asking ourselves that question, you know, who are the people that we might see as untouchable or unclean? Who are the people whom we would prefer to pass by on the street without a glance rather than to stop and have a conversation or share a cup of tea? Who are the people or places that we look at expecting to see the worst? Now, unfortunately, in our world, these kinds of divisions and perceptions are far too common. Too often our news or our culture or our politics or our religions or even our own insecurities try to create these modern-day lepers in our world, or people or places that we tend to blame for our problems, people or places that we tend to try to keep at a safe distance. But what would happen in our world if instead of expecting the worst, we saw all people for what they truly were, children of God? If we saw all people like we see the man in the story, someone who is capable of teaching us something remarkable about faith and about gratitude. Because the reality is, we are all outsiders. To someone somewhere, we are all just a little bit strange. Maybe some of us more strange than others. But more than that, you know, due to sin and brokenness and choices we make, at times we are all a bit leprous. But the wonderful truth that we see in this story, and the wonderful truth that's revealed throughout all Scripture, is that Christ heals us, that Christ is with us. Jesus sees us as we are, and Jesus welcomes us as his own. So as we go through our lives, may we encounter each day expecting to be met by the God who welcomes us in Jesus Christ. May we go through each day expecting to be welcomed and accepted by the God who heals us and the God who makes all people whole. And may we encounter all people we meet with the same grace and love and welcome that we receive in Christ, not in isolation or in keeping our distance, but in loving and welcoming others in the same way that Christ welcomes us. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue worshiping God together by singing hymn 718. At 718, we cannot measure how you heal.
We cannot measure how you heal.
We come before God with our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Holy God, every day we thank you for the blessings and privileges that we enjoy. Thank you for all the physical, emotional, and spiritual gifts that you bestow. We praise you for our homes, our surroundings, our jobs, and our abilities. We thank you for our communities, our neighborhoods, our friendships, our families, and all relationships. And we pray your grace upon those for whom those gifts do not come easy, or for whom those gifts do not come at all. We pray for all who bring physical healing in our world. We pray for surgeons, doctors, nurses, carers, and all the health professionals who work around them. Strengthen and encourage them all, as well as the systems that support them and make it possible for them to do their work. We consider all those who support people through depression or mental illness of any kind. We lift to you the social workers, those running addiction clinics, and all the volunteers who provide a listening ear or a space to be or a place of welcome. May your healing light shine through each of them. Across our nations, in all nations everywhere, but especially here in Scotland and the UK, we pray for all suffering disabilities of any kind. We lift up anyone with conditions that lead to isolation, loneliness, or a lack of inclusion. Build our society as a whole, and each of us as individuals, to be more loving and supportive, so that despite any limitations, all your people may achieve full and enriching lives, that all might return to you singing praise and offering gratitude. Lord, we pray for the whole world, especially those places where war and violence seem to be ever present. 2 years this week since the attack in Israel, we pray for an end to the continued violence and destruction that has followed. We pray for a lasting peace and ask that you might bring healing to the people of Palestine, the people of Israel, and those people in all places around the world who have been touched by this conflict. Guide leaders to seek the good of all people, especially those most vulnerable to the distresses of war and violence in our world. We cannot alone help all those who suffer or struggle, so we give thanks for all of the charities, the nonprofits, the professionals, and the individuals who stand ready to help those in any need. We pray specifically for Christian Aid and those who support the work that is done. As we begin the Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal, we ask that you would inspire us and all people to generosity so that your love and your care might be made known. All these are prayers we offer to you in thanksgiving and praise, trusting that they will be heard and answered according to your will. Through our God, our Father, through Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and through the Holy Spirit, through whom all things work together for good for those who believe. And bless us now as we pray together in the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, hymn 441, Blessing and Honor. That's hymn 441.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing. Go now held in the promise that God sees you as you are and loves you without end. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and even forevermore. Amen.